we are right in the middle of a sermon series, we'll say, on Acts. I said it will be done within 2 years. We won't stay in Acts more than 2 years. Maybe it'll be a lot less. Maybe not. We might even throw some other sermon series in there and some different series and have fun. But it's going to be a great time. We are jumping into Acts chapter 3. And sometimes when I think about the Word, it is so important to get into the Word, to understand the Word, and to get it and to apply it to our life. And I see the Grosses right back there. Yesterday, they ran a 5K, and I think it was yesterday, and it looked like a lot of fun. I'm not sure what was going on. If you are friends of theirs on Facebook, it looked phenomenal. Jen, you were going through some tube that wasn't quite, it was like made for a toddler to go through, and I enjoyed every single moment of it. But when I think about the Word, sometimes we want it to be instant satisfaction, which it could be, or instant gratification, or instant, we want to just have it memorized and understand all the Word. Guess what? That's not how it goes. And even a 5K probably took them 20, 30 minutes, you know, whatever it was, 40? Hour and 15. Nice walk. You guys had a very good walk. And that's, were you crawling? An hour and 15 minutes? Oh, 6 miles. Okay, good. That was not a 5K. I understood incorrectly. I was going to say an hour plus for a 5K, that would be crawling. You'd literally be crawling. I mean, that would be amazing. I have no clue what I was talking about after that. That just threw me completely off. But it is amazing. We've got to let the Word of God get in us. And it's more like a marathon when we think of the Word of God. It's something we do and we do and we do. How many of you are self-masochists and you have ran a marathon in your life? There's one. Oh, a couple over there. We're up to like three. I've done that four. We've got at least five of us in the room that have ran 26.2 miles. Right? It feels really good for about 8 miles. You're like, this is awesome. I'm going to run, sprint the whole thing. I got this. And then you get to 12 and you're like, yeah, I'm pretty good. Then you get to 14. You're like, it's getting long. And then you get to 16 or 18. For me, normally right around the 18-mile mark. All of a sudden, your body says, what in the world are you doing? Like, what is wrong with you? And if you're me, all of a sudden, your body starts shutting down and you start saying, I'm not sure. And that's a little too much detail. But the Word of God, sometimes we have to stick with it, just like a marathon, and say, I am not going to stop putting the Word of God in my life. Because if you've ran a marathon, when you cross that finish line, it's like, come on, somebody. You want to tell everybody there is. In fact, there's times in my running career, one marathon specifically, I got done running this marathon, and I could then no longer walk. It was like an amazing thing. So I sat down. They always give you food at the end. There was pizza. I got the pizza, and I sat in this chair. And then I realized, I don't know that standing up and walking a mile to my car is realistic. Like, I'm not sure if this is going to work. And I was there by myself, and I was like, I'm not sure what's going to happen. But guess what? You have to get up, and you've got to crawl maybe to your car. You figure out how to do it. And in life, there's times when maybe we feel like, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can overcome the obstacle or the situation. But the Word of God proves over and over and over again to be the answer to every problem we have. It proves to be the answer in every situation, to every problem that comes, whether it's my finances or it's relationships or whether it's parenting or anything else. The Word of God is what it's about. But it takes consistency and it takes getting into it. And therefore, when I talk about going through Acts and over the next 2 years or whatever it looks like, I believe there's something powerful when we say, Lord, I want to understand your Word, not just portions of it even, but I want to understand how it goes together. I want to understand how I can pull life from the story after story after story in your Word. I also believe that God, he didn't just have Luke here in Acts or other writers just write random verses and chapters, but there's a reason that people did and wrote what they wrote. And today we're going to be looking in Acts chapter 3. And this is a story that maybe if you've grown up in the church, maybe you'd say, oh yes, the story of the lame beggar healed. Or maybe even more, you'd say the lame beggar at the beautiful gate, right? At this special, beautiful place. But as I've been thinking about this, it's like, why is it that Luke chose to put this story, which we'll read here in a minute, right here? Why is it that following Acts chapter 2, last week, Pastor Rachel bringing a great word on the fellowship of the believers and how they were together and had all things in common. That was right after the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out. Why is it that then we come here and we all of a sudden hear and see this story of the lame beggar? We see the story of healing and of hope that God brings. And just a couple things to throw out there. First is in Acts 2:43, what was last week, says awe came upon every soul and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And it's possible that right here in Acts chapter 3, he says, we've just talked about some really cool things in a broad brush, with a broad brush, but now let's dig down. Let's begin to actually show instances and moments where God used the apostles, he used his church to bring hope and life to the world. It also gives Luke another opportunity to tell of a sermon of Peter, which next week we're going to jump into the sermon that follows the miracle. And maybe in a couple of weeks, even more difficult, is this leads and opens the door to show of the earliest Christian persecution that they dealt with. That when God moves, when God shows up, when miracles are happening, when God is on the move in the earth, guess what? It's not just a thing where everyone says, oh, I love it. It's not a thing where it's just, yes, this is the best. God's doing his thing. But there's times when our world doesn't like what God is doing. In fact, maybe all the time, I mean, I don't know if I want to go quite there, but almost all the time when God is moving, it means people feel condemnation or convicted or whatever they personally feel. The people don't necessarily like it when God moves. It's a whole lot easier just to deal with life, even the bad of life, and not have to worry about a God that's in heaven. Obviously, if you know God, you know Jesus, you would disagree. We would disagree with that. But right here, just setting this up, I believe there's this tension that Luke is wanting to tell his readers and thus tell us today. So let's jump right into the story of the lame beggar healed, is what my Bible would title in Acts chapter 3, 1 through 10. It says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Lord, I pray that this morning, as we have read your word, as we're going to talk about your word, Lord, would you help us to raise our expectations of who you are and what you want to do in this world, maybe in our lives. Lord, help us to know what to request, to know the questions, the things we should be asking you for, to listen for your response, and Lord, to step in the goodness and the wholeness and even the revival that you have for each one of us as we hear you, as we walk in you, and as we take your words and make them what our life is all about. We worship you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, this story, how amazing would it be? Can you just imagine, put yourself there? You are carried daily to this gate. You're carried, you're put there, you're set in that place. And one day, you've seen hundreds and thousands of people go by. In fact, there's a good chance that Jesus may well have walked by this guy. There's a really good chance that he would have used this gate, that he could have gone past. And like any other day, he says and begins to cry out and says, you know, help me, begging for those alms, wanting the thing that would sustain him. He had a request. He had something that he needed. He had something he knew that he desired and he had to have, which was money to help him, to support him. But on this one day, there was a He missed it, I would say. I think you could say he missed it. And in our life, when I think about us, sometimes our request may not line up always with what God might be willing to do. And this guy, he had no clue, but on this day when he asked Peter and John for money, for alms, there was so much more that God had for him. There was so much more that Peter and John could give. There was so much more. But was he going to realize? Was he going to see? Was he going to experience? And that is the question of our life. That's the question. And there's times this man, it says from birth, he was there every day. He was never in a place where he didn't need to ask for alms. He was never in a place where he was free. He was never in a place. And in fact, this guy was pretty smart because he put himself right by the beautiful gate. He put himself right by where people would have been walking, as were Peter and John, to go and to pray in the temple. He knew that it was important in their day to give alms and to take care of the poor. It was important, and still is, in the Jewish community. It was important. He was a smart guy. He was where he should have been in the moment to receive what he thought he needed. Even just to put a backdrop of it, this beautiful gate. The historian Josephus said that the gate was 75 feet high, made of beautiful Corinthian brass, and had double doors. It was said to be even more beautiful than gates that were covered with silver or gold. He put himself in this place with all the beauty that could be there to beg and to ask for what he knew he could ask for and what he knew the people would give. And I think in our life it can be easy to put ourselves in a place where we know what to do, where I thank each one of you that you come to church on a Sunday morning, and I pray that this is one of those places where you get to experience God. I pray this is someone where you don't only even experience God, hopefully that's the most important, but where we also come together as a family, and therefore we want to come and encourage one another. Sometimes we actually do this. Sometimes we help each other. We help people that are in need. Sometimes people come and they get a car because someone else gives a car and we can give that to them. Sometimes people need help paying a bill, and guess what? We're so excited that sometimes we get to go and help people when they're in need or when they lost a job or they don't know what to do. We want to be that. We want to do that. But the question that I have for Radiant Life Church and the question I have for each one of us is, are we willing to expand our request? Are we willing to go beyond asking God for support or asking God to just help me survive in the moment of my life or help me to make it through, maybe some parents in the room, make it through my 3 or 4 week old or 6 month old or year or two, or maybe you have a little one that's like in the toddler stage and you just need God just to help you? Or maybe there's things in your life, your work, where you make money, how you do the things of life. Maybe you're just asking God, Lord, just let me make it through one more day. Just help me make it through one more day. And my question for us is it possible that we need to expand our request, moving beyond just, Lord, give me this, give me an alm, give me one more hour, Lord, one more piece of strength, and instead let God begin to give us a response that goes way beyond what we could have ever asked or even imagined, just like this lame man at the temple gate. Because in verse 4 through 6, it goes on and says, and Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I believe that there's a response that God has for us that goes beyond our own understanding, our own knowledge, our own even desire, what we know to ask for. This man must have been so excited when Peter and John fixed their gaze on him. He must have been so excited, expecting for alms to come. And in fact, in those days, just like today, if you see someone that's begging, I wish I could say I didn't do this, but is anybody in the room? You're driving, and so they're on the side of the road, and you don't want to make eye contact, because if you really make eye contact, you're afraid maybe that God will tell you, hey, maybe you should help him out, or maybe you should go get him a burger, right? So, man, it's really quiet. I hope I'm not the only one that's ever done that. I feel convicted in this exact moment. But there's those moments, it's like, I don't even want to look. I don't see you, so therefore I don't have to feel bad. But this, when Peter and John looked at them, you can imagine the excitement of saying, yes, they're going to give. And in fact, locking on, someone who really, truly engages might have thought, this is going to be a big one. This might be a larger bill. Give me a 20 or 50, you know, in our day and in our age. But they said, I don't have that. I don't have silver and gold. I don't have what you would want. And I find it interesting, just doing study, that in their day, that would not be something you'd want to say. It's not like, wow, I'm excited. Probably like today, there's not many of us that want to say, I'm broke, I can't help you. Right, I'm broke, either I don't have a job to do that, or I've got a lot of children, or maybe I don't spend my money well, whatever reason. It's not something that you would want to say. And in the church world, I think we want to be that same sort of people. We want to have, and we want to be able to give, and we want to be able to do. But there's a challenge if you look at it from Peter and John, or maybe from the church, that if I have money, and if I can offer alms, if I can offer a gift, that I don't need to let God really move, because I'm just going to take care of the issue or the problem or the situation. And can we get stuck in a mindset of, I'm going to help so I don't have to actually walk on the power of the word, so I don't have to walk on what he would say? I've been to Africa a couple times, and each time I go to Africa, the missions organizations that we've gone with, they've been very, very clear in the fact that they don't only want to feed people. Because if they give and they give and they give, then people expect and they expect and they expect, and they don't turn and come up with a solution to not be in the situation they're in. So if we only get alms, and if we say, I just need, give me one more bit of strength, instead of asking God to come and heal and restore and make new and make right, instead of being willing to say, Lord, the financial situation isn't good enough, so Lord, what do I need to do? Do I need to go back to school, or do I need to look for a different job, or do I need to cut what I spend? If it's just an alms, then all of a sudden they get used to receiving and receiving and receiving. And I believe it's spiritually, not necessarily actually in money, we can do the same thing and say, Lord, I don't want to be transformed in my life. I just want you to help me make it through one more day, one more minute. Just Lord, I'm going to hold on. I'm just going to make it. And I believe that God today, he wants to give a response that blows us away. If we will listen and if we're open to him, that he wants to say, maybe I'm not going to give you the 50 bucks you want in this moment, but I'm going to teach you and I'm going to train you and I'm going to transform you so you don't have to beg for alms or beg for whatever you feel in that thing, but that God wants to come and he wants to bring wholeness and transformation. So the question is, can we receive the response that God has? As the church, do we rely on money only and lose the most important part of this, which is, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk? I would much rather not have the money and have the power of God flowing through me. I would much rather our church not know and have to rely on miracles of God for the next church plant that we believe are going to happen, or the next daycare that we're going to start to reach into communities. I would much rather be like, Lord, we are going to rely on your word and on your truth. We are going to have to believe and say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, because if you don't show up, we're in big, big trouble. Then say, well, I've got the money, so I don't need God, right? I've got the things. And we live in a richer community, right? Many of us, you could say from a financial standpoint, I don't need God to show up. You could say from, I can pay for counseling, or I can pay to have things fixed when there's a medical issue, or I can use the money that God has given me. And I believe there's a challenge to never be in a place where we're so comfortable that we pay with silver and gold what God wants to do in his name, in the name of Jesus Christ. And is it possible in your own life? Are there areas in my own life? Could there be areas where today I want to buy, or I want to just hold on? I just want to make it. I want the band-aid on my life instead of saying, God, I want to listen for your response. I want my request to go to another level. I want to experience you where you transform my life, where you make me whole, where you make me new, where you, Jesus, show up in my life so that I get to get up and I get to rise and I get to walk in whatever situation it is that we're going through in our life. God wants to move in his church, but will we receive his response? Will we open our hearts to what he is saying? Will we allow him to pour his spirit out upon us? They didn't have money. They didn't have the thing that this man was asking for, but they gave what they had. They gave the power and the presence of Jesus to this man. And that is what our goal, I pray, is every single day, is to follow God, to serve God, and to pour out Jesus of Nazareth to our world. I believe that God wants to move in your life, in your ministry of what your life is. He wants to show himself, but we have to be willing to receive his response in our life. As I think about marriage, marriage is a big one. If you're married, you know marriage can be great and it can be super easy. And then there can be times when you have to work through some things. You've got to fight for what's important. You choose to love. You choose to care. And I think this principle goes so well. Is am I going to ask God just to give me strength to kind of make it through one more day? Or am I going to ask God, Lord Jesus, would you show up today and help me to be transformed, to be the best husband for me or wife, if you're a wife, to be the best that I can be? So we don't just have a life where we live in the same house, but where we are a couple. We're one as you've called us to be, because God made marriage not so that we are stuck to one another, but because it's about blessing and encouraging and making us all that we can be together. God wants to heal and restore, not just make it so you can manage another week. I don't think God's in the one more week business of helping you out. God wants to bring wholeness and life so you can pour out the blessing he's given you to the world. Jesus' response offers a transformed life far better than simple support. He doesn't want to only support, but he wants to make whole and new and right. He doesn't even want to only heal, but he wants to bring transformation to our mind, our body, our spirit. Today, if you struggle with anxiety and depression, or you struggle with things of the past, you struggle with areas of the mind, you struggle with whatever it is, today God wants to show up. And not just mask something, but bring wholeness. And I encourage you to begin to ask God, not for the Band-Aid, but ask him, Lord, would you help heal what happened 30 years ago? Lord, would you help to wipe those things away? Would you help me maybe even to see where you were so I can just understand what's going on? Lord, would you help transform my life so I can move into the next phase of what you have for me? Be all that you have called me to be. Lord, would you help me not to just make it through one more bout of anxiety, but Lord, would you remove that from my life? Would you transform me? Would you get fear out of my life? Lord, would you do what only you can do? This lame man, he had no other option but to show up at the gate, to put out his cup or whatever it was, and to ask for those alms. He had no other option until God intervened. And that's what God does. Verses 7 to 10 says, and he took him, Peter, by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong, and leaping up he stood and began to walk, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. There's something that happens when we align ourselves with the Lord, when we receive the response of God, when we expand our request, that all of a sudden, I believe we can step into a place of revival in our life, a place of wholeness, a place of newness in our life. You might say, that word revival, what does that mean? Anything that wasn't as it should be, being made whole. In the church, when revival happens, what happens? People get saved, they get set free, they get healed, they get, I'm waiting for the day, they get literally brought back from life. That's what the Lord did, that's what Jesus did, he told us to do it. Revival is making old new. And when I look for the response of God, and when I say I don't want support, but I want you, Jesus, I want your response, I want revival, I want newness to well up within me, then everything begins to change. Everything begins to get exciting. Our life looks entirely different. It says that Peter took him by the right, or by the right hand, and lifted him up. He says that he said, rise up and walk. It's one thing to tell someone, hey, I'm going to pray for you. Right, May? Is it one thing to say, I'm going to pray for you? It's another thing to get down and actually pray. It's another thing to speak to some bones or to some legs to say, come back, go into order, go as you should be. It's a whole other thing to then grab them by the arm and say, okay, now we're going to try it out and we're going to stand up. There's something that happens when we understand the heart of God, that he's not only about the prayer, he's not only about the words, but he's about the action of following through with what he's called us to do. Sometimes it's us that's going to have to take a step. I just wonder if Peter here said, rise up and walk, and walked away, would that lame beggar have had the faith to stand up and say, yeah, I believe it. I've never done this in my life, but I'm just going to do it. There's a good chance that if Peter just walked away, if he didn't have the faith to take that step, that that lame beggar would have stayed right where he was before. But there's something that happens when we've experienced Jesus. Acts 2, Acts 1, what God was doing when they were waiting in the upper room, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, when they're all together and in common, serving Jesus together and praying and spending time with him, that Peter has the faith to say, rise and walk and let's do this, and pull him to his feet. It's the moment in our life of not just speaking or even saying, I believe, but believing enough to take action or to make change or to literally grab someone and raise them to life. It says immediately his feet and bones received strength. And I just love how some of these words kind of come together. Luke being a medical person, the word translated feet is only used by Luke in the Bible. It occurs nowhere else. It indicates the different parts and pieces of the human heel. The phrase ankle bones is again a medical phrase to be found nowhere else. The word for made strong is the same as sockets coming back into place. And something took place when Peter grabbed him, when he reached out, raised him up, that immediately his feet, the parts of his feet that needed to go back into place, the ankles, they were made strong. There was a popping back into socket that only God could have done. And in fact, in their day, only God could have known what needed done. And then the miracle that when he pulls them up, this guy who's never walked all of a sudden can walk and praise and leap and sing the praises of God. And God doesn't only want to come and touch or do something small, but he wants to pop back in the pieces of our life, how they should be. He wants to clear out portions that shouldn't. He wants to get rid of and then put in the new, so that when we are pulled back to life, that all of a sudden it's all good. It's all, whether it's my ankle or whether it's my spirit or it's something in my mind or something that happened before, he wants to make newness and wholeness and put our feet and our ankles in the spiritual back together, so we can go all in for him, so that we can leap up, this coming suddenly into socket of something that was out of place, so we can leap up in our spirit and go in, all in on the goodness and the awesome nature of who God is in our life. This man, he did a couple things. When he got up, I already mentioned he began to leap and jump. How many people, if you were in this place, you probably would do the same? You'd get a little bit excited. You'd do a little bit of leaping, right? But he didn't just leap and leave. He didn't leap and stay there. He didn't just wait in the situation that he was in. But he got up and he attached himself to the apostles. He went and entered the temple with them. He started to use what God gave him. He was walking and leaping. And he began to praise God with everything within him. I believe that something is vital, that when God begins to restore and make new, when God begins to show himself in a mighty and a powerful way, it is our responsibility to latch on to what he's doing. It's our responsibility to tell the world what he's doing. It's our responsibility to go all in and say, I have seen God move, and I'm not going to let anybody else miss out on what he's doing. I'm going to experience it. I'm going to walk in him. That's why I believe as Radiant Life Church, we are so incredibly blessed the facilities that we have, the kids' ministries that we have, the Royal Rangers and girls' ministries, to have 10 to 15 ladies and gentlemen every Wednesday night who will pour into our students, about 150 of these young people every Wednesday night. It is a blessing from God. It is absolutely amazing what God is doing through you. John and Jessica Dale with Royal Family Kids Camp and the huge team that pours into kids from the foster care community. We get to reach into so many different areas. We get to experience, and it's our responsibility to walk and to leap and to jump and to tell the world of who he is. In our board meeting a few weeks ago, I loved it. We got to sit and talk as a board. I was trying to make it a short board meeting, but this wasn't my fault this time. The board, they kept talking, and it was great asking questions about future, and we were talking future. And something was brought up that I believe is the heart of the gospel. But is that as Radiant Life Church, we could very easily sit in our nice air-conditioned rooms, and we could have our nice programs, and we could do good things. We've always done good things. But you know what else we've always done is plant churches. We've always gone. We've always gone on missions trips and given. And I believe that God once again asks us, it's not time to sit. It's not time to just be. But it's time to leap and to jump and to proclaim the goodness of what God has done in every single one of us. So we can go and we can make a difference in our world. That's why I am pumped that next year we're believing we're going to launch a second daycare campus. And out of that, we're going to launch a second location of our church. And we're going to do it over and over and over again. Why? Because we want to reach Powell and Hilliard better than we can being in Dublin. We want to reach whatever community it is because they need to see the love of Jesus. And because we've gotten to experience God put our feet and our ankles back together. And we want to tell every single person that we possibly can of the goodness of who God is. It says that the people, as it closed out, that the people were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. They recognized him. And I believe and I pray that our world would recognize the church as the church rises to its feet. As you as individuals rise and you take what God is doing, you take where he's taken you from, you begin to share and proclaim and you take it even to the next level. Young people going back to school in the fall, I believe that God wants to use you, that God wants to proclaim through you what he's done in your life. But we must be willing to share, to proclaim, to praise our God, and to go all out for him. I believe that strong feet and ankles, what that means, the putting back into socket, putting back into place, leads to revival in your life and in your ministry. And I pray that as a church, we would not settle for anything less than revival. We would not settle for anything less than God speaking through us to make a difference in our world. That we wouldn't stop short of anything besides, Lord, I want my marriage to look like you. I want my parenting to look like you. I want my work environment to look like you. I want my witnessing and sharing to look like you. I want my ministry to look like you. I want to see miracles and signs and wonders, whatever you would call me to do. 1 Corinthians 12, any of those things, I'm going to believe. I'm going to stand on your word. I'm going to tell the world about it. Because you've been here, you've modeled already, you've shown what you've done through this man, and you've shown what you've done in my life and in my heart, and I'm not going to stop short. And this morning as we close, and in a couple of minutes, Pastor Sarah and our kids are going to come in here as we're going to be celebrating her, as this is her last official day as our children's pastor. But before that, I just want to give each one of us an opportunity just to commit. To commit to God, to commit to a desire, if you can, to say, Lord, I want revival in every part of my life. I don't want to just leave it for somebody else, or I don't want to just see wholeness in somebody else, but Lord, I want to see revival to well up within me. I want newness to be with me so that it can go and pour out into my world. Lord, I want your response. I want what you have. I want what you've spoken. Lord Jesus, I don't want just what I can do. I don't want what only I can offer. But Lord, help me to expand my request. Help me expand my request to be all in. And this morning, I can look across the sanctuary. I know that there's some of you that you're struggling in your marriage. Some of you, you're struggling as a young person. Some of you are struggling in parenting. Some of you are struggling with finances. Some of you are struggling with your physical body, with cancer, or with all different types of things. That this morning, you need the presence and the power of God to show up. And my question is, will we as Radiant Life Church change our request? Say, Lord, I don't want to only make it through the next day, but Lord, I want wholeness and life to come upon me. I want transformation. I want your spirit to move in me like I have never, ever seen before. I want my feet and my ankles to be put back into place and new life to come upon me. And right now, if you'd say, that's me, maybe you've never started a relationship with Jesus and you're at a church and you don't even know why. But you say this morning, I've felt the presence of God. I know that he wants to move and that he wants to speak. I know that he wants to do something in my life. You can please join us. But if you say, I want more of God, we're not going to come to the altars as the kids are going to be in here in a couple minutes. But if you say, I want to experience him, I am willing to go all in. I'm willing to ask him, Lord, help me. Change my request. Change how I respond to you. And Lord, I want revival to well up in my life so I can make a difference. All over this room, if that's you, would you just stand right where you are? If you say, that's me, I want to go all in. I'm not going to stop short, but I want to go all in. Say, that's you. You're willing to put it to your feet, to stand up, to say, this is the moment that I want to experience the presence and the power of God. If you need a transformation in your own body, your own life, you as well, please stand up. We're going to pray for wholeness and healing. We're going to believe. Maybe if you have lost loved ones that they don't know the Lord this morning, that they need that transformation, maybe you can even stand in the gap for them. Whatever it would be this morning, let's do it. We're going to just take a couple minutes to pray. And I pray that in your own words that you would be willing to cry out, maybe a little bit like this lame beggar, that you're willing to cry out, but instead of, Lord, I just need some money, I just need some alms, I just need, would you go to the heart of what maybe you're standing for this morning? Maybe it's standing in for someone else, or maybe it's something in your own physical body. Whatever it is, would you verbalize that to the Lord even right now? Begin to just make this a prayer time where you say, Lord, help me. So, Lord, I pray and stand with each of these that, Lord, they're requesting, but, Lord, maybe not the request of before today, but getting to the heart of it. Lord, for those that need healing in their body, right now we pray for wholeness and healing and life for every single person in this room. God, we ask that you would bring a wholeness to them. Lord, heal hearts. Take cancer away, God. Take sickness. Take disease. Lord, even whether it be an actual ankle this morning, God, we pray that you would bring wholeness, put the pieces and the parts back into place. Lord, those that have issues with their blood, we ask that you would come and that you would bring wholeness to that blood. Lord, that it would be in the right numbers, the counts that it should be, that you would bring healing, that you would bring wholeness, you would bring life to physical bodies in this room. Lord, for those that maybe it's a thing in their mind, Lord, that struggle with anxiety, or struggle with fear, or struggle with depression. God, I pray that right now you would come and you would bring wholeness to these, God. Lord, that it wouldn't be a continual thing, but this morning you would bring healing to each person in this room, God. We stand upon your word, the author of life today. We pray for wholeness. No anxiety, no fear. Those things would have to flee in your presence today. Lord, we pray for those maybe that have lost loved ones or lost family members, lost children. God, we pray that even today there would be a thing that begins to happen in the spirit realm, Lord, that our young ones, that our family members, maybe that our parents, Lord, that they would come to relationship with you. Use us, God. Use us to make a difference. Use us to, Lord, let your spirit be poured forth. God, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Lord, for those that are parenting in this room, God, we ask you to bless them, to help them, to give them wisdom, Lord, to give them strength of the strategies that you would have for them. Lord, those in marriage, God, we pray to restore maybe marriages that are struggling. Lord, that each of us individually wouldn't look at the other person, but would look at ourselves. And Lord, how can I change? How can I be transformed so that my marriage or relationship can be better? Lord Jesus, we ask you to move. Lord Jesus, we ask you to to move, just like the people said, this man, we know him. He sits at the beautiful gate. Lord, for our world, we ask you, God, to bring revival, to bring hope and healing to our world. We ask you to use us, Jesus, to not only give or to supply for needs, but Lord, to bring transformation like Peter and John. Lord, we ask you. We ask you, God, to move in a powerful and a mighty way. Lord, we're so thankful. We're so thankful. We're so thankful. Lord, for things I didn't even mention that people are standing for today, we ask you, Jesus, to show yourself powerful, mighty, faithful, and true, Jesus. You are so good. We love you, and we thank you today. Let us be transformed. Let us be turned to be like you, God, the author, Lord, of creation, of life. You are so good. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.